Heaven, a podcast where we follow up our sermon series at Bell Shoals Church and answer your questions with Dr. Corey Abney and Dr. Ben Skog.
We are back on the podcast talking about heaven today with Dr. Corey Abney and Dr. Ben Skog.
Doctor.
We're so glad to be here answering some questions about heaven, one of those topics that everyone has questions about. And so it's been really fun to talk about these questions in depth and really kind of look at the scripture and see what the Bible has to say. So our first question, we're going to be talking about who will be in heaven. So the first one is, are there going to be people in heaven that we cannot stand?
Oh boy. I hope not.
Well, again, it's all about perspective, isn't it?
It is.
In this life, when we look forward to heaven, are there people who are going to be in heaven today that we can't stand? Yes. In heaven, when we're glorified, we can't stand them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we've talked about this where the most important thing in terms of our relationship to keep in mind is that whenever your relationship with God is broken, your relationship with everything else is broken. Mm-hmm. Not just other people, the created order.
Everything.
Our relationship with our bodies is broken. Thus, we have disease and death. Our relationship with other people are broken. So we have dysfunction and hurt and unforgiveness and betrayal and abuse.
Yeah. Tofu.
Tofu would be an example of
broken.
Well, the broken cosmos.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So everything's broken. Again, in the eternal state, our relationship with God is not broken. Our relationship with other people, not broken, and therefore we will not see people, even people in this life that we can't stand, we will not see them the same way, and they will not see us the same way. We will only be made right with God, be made right with others, and our existence will be as it should be.
We will be exactly. So I think several series ago when Pastor Corey was talking about the masterpiece that God has for us in glorification, and that all the earthly things that we think are mistakes, they're not mistakes. Every single one of them is a master brush stroke from God in order to get us to what we will look like in glory. And not only will we be exactly as God hasn't, but we will see others as God sees them.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. This one is controversial. We get this one a lot. Let's talk about animals.
Oh,
animals.
Yeah, I talked about this in the series. I'm a huge animal lover, have had cats and dogs, and I think we had a rabbit at one point growing up because thanks to my brother. So I'd like to thank my brother for the rabbit. And I'm trying to think what else we had, but now I have a grand dog, which I'm very much in love with.
Cece's great.
Her name is Cece. She is. She's
great
just dog. She's a beautiful little puppy. And
question on Cece.
I love her, yeah.
Is it Cece?
No, C-E-C-E. No, C-E-C-E.
Okay.
It's short for Cecilia. So she has a very regal name, Ben. Very regal name. But Cece for short. So all that to say, I love dogs, love pets. So, and animals in general, by the way. When I was in South Africa several years ago, I got to hold lion cubs. And they said lion cubs. And I thought, oh, that's great. And they came out. And they were lion young adult cubs. And it was a problem.
Really? Rambunctious?
They were, yes, and I still have some of the clothing with tears and rips from the claws. And yeah, so anyway, so really not just pets, okay? The question's animals, which I think is good because we think of just the broader scope of other beings that God has made and that reflect his glory in some form or fashion, right? So I think we have to start with differences between animals and humans. What are they? And it goes far beyond, like if I go back to pets, for example, just those animals that I feel an attachment to. Okay, I say this as a pet lover, as a dog lover, as a Cece lover in particular. Okay, your perception of your animals or of animals in general is not what matters most. Your emotions attached to an animal or two are not what matter. The truth of what God has established in the world is what matters, right? So again, I have my own emotions with animals and with little Cece, but I'm just saying that's not what carries the day. We have to set all that aside and say, okay, as God has created man and animals, are they the same? are they different? And here's why this is so important, because there are a lot of people today who see them as the same.
Right.
I mean, we see it, I would say more and more, at least over the course of my lifetime, and it's not just the PETA folks, so to speak. Right. I mean, it's a lot of well-intended believers. There's just a difference in how we view humanity today, and certainly how our society is viewing animals and other created beings today.
So would you say that there has been a devaluing
of how
we view
life.
Humanity
yeah.
and an increase?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because when you look at human life and animal life, again, it's not about our emotions or our perceptions. It's about the reality of what God's made.
Yeah.
The big difference is the image of God.
Yeah.
And the image of God, rightly understood, relative to human beings, translates to a consciousness and an immaterial existence that is unique to humanity. No other created being has it.
Correct. Yeah.
And I remember, this is years ago, I was with Ken Ham at a debate with Bill Nye. Some of you who are listening or watching may remember that. It was a famous debate. Bill Nye, the well-known atheist, you know, debating a well-known creationist. And I'll never forget that night when Bill Nye confessed, and it was a confession, he has no explanation for human consciousness. And to me, that was the pivotal moment of the debate. You know, we can debate the Grand Canyon and rock layers and everything else, but when Bill Nye acknowledged that he and the atheist community and the scientific community at large had no explanation for human consciousness, man, that was telling. And actually, he went on to say that we hope to find a reason for that, for human consciousness, in the future. He said, I hope some future scientists will uncover why humans have consciousness that no other animal being has. Well, I can tell you why they have it and why we have it. It's the image of God.
Yeah. And it's not a scientist. It's anyone who opens Romans chapter 1.
That's right.
Sees it.
And I would argue that even an atheistic acknowledgement of human consciousness is an acknowledgement that human life and animal life are not the same.
Yeah.
As much as we want to make them the same, they're not the same. And so my point is, as much as I love little Cece in my house, I don't love her to the extent I love my children. And the reason goes beyond just the fact that they were born to me and I was there and cut the umbilical cord and all the rest. No, my children reflect the image of God. They have a moral consciousness. They are made for eternity in the sense that they're not eternal, like they were here from the very beginning of time, so to speak, but they're made to live with God mm-hmm. from now until the new heavens and new earth, right? That's not true of animals. So I know that's hard maybe for some to hear, but animals are under the curse. We're under the curse. The cosmos is under the curse. The only thing we see in Scripture is that Jesus came to redeem people. He didn't come to redeem animals. He didn't come to redeem the earth. He's going to remake the earth as it presently exists. And so I know this is a kind of a lengthy diatribe here, Ben.
It's needed. This is a serious question.
It's a very serious, and it's one of the most common questions that we're receiving. Yep. It's one of the most pertinent questions. So yeah, for me, it's not about animals. It's about human beings.
Yeah.
And it's about a devaluing of the image of God in mankind, and ultimately, therefore, a devaluing of what Christ came to accomplish
right.
on the cross.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's
a God. And so do I believe, this is a little different thing, but do I believe that there may be animals in heaven? I think that's very possible, but I think they would be made for the eternal state. I do not believe they will be resurrected for the eternal state. We have no evidence of that in Scripture.
Yeah, so I think I'm with Pastor Corey on every line. One, I love animals. I take that back. I love most animals. I don't like snakes.
No, agreed. But they're not mammals.
That's right. I don't like
you don't like reptiles. That's
right. That's now here's the thing: in the original creation, the mosquito and the cockroach have a non-fallen purpose that brings glory to God. So, will there be a mosquito in heaven? Yes, but they'll be doing something that I can't fathom. That God created them originally to do, but they won't be resurrected through the power of Christ. So I think that's a distinction. So one, Adam is created as the vice
Sorry,
regent.
Did you just say there are going to be mosquitoes in heaven?
Yes.
So sad.
Yes. So cockroaches, mosquitoes, none of these are mistakes, right? There is not a new creation of an animal after the fall. So in other words, what you have is fallen animals. So Adam is the vice regent over all of humanity and the entire world.
All right, but let's just stick with horses and puppies. Okay? Let's just, that's hard enough for a lot of us to get our arms around.
We got to go here.
Okay.
So Adam falls and the entire cosmos falls.
That's right.
Right? The ground falls. We have weeds, thorns, thistles.
That's right.
All animals. So they're when you do scientific findings, right, they have found that in the bellies of dinosaurs, they have found plant matter. Right, but the hawk was not originally designed to kill a bunny rabbit. That came through the fall.
That's right.
Right, and so I don't think that our pets will be redeemed by Christ, because in the book of Hebrews, it's very clear. The writer says Christ came for humanity, which is why he took on a human nature.
That's right.
What we don't see him doing is taking on the nature of an animal or something else. Mm-hmm. So he came to redeem specifically humanity.
Who are made in his image.
Who are made
and
in
reflect
his image.
His image in all that
that's
we do.
Right. That's right.
Unlike the animal world. That's right.
Right. Now, in the new heavens, new earth, in the recreated cosmos, will there be animals? I think so, my opinion, only because we see them in the garden prior to the fall. And I think there are illusions about certain things in the Old Testament, talking about going back before there was a curse, lion lying down with the lamb. And some of those are images, but I think what it's saying is someday there's going to be the curse removed.
That's right.
So it's not that lion, it's lion recreated.
It could be. That's right. And I think what gets lost in the question sometimes, because we are well-intended, most of us thinking of animals that we like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is if we do the math on this, it's either Christ redeems a certain amount of animals,
right?
And surely that would be Cece.
The ones I like.
She would right. be in the mix. Yeah. I mean, clearly, yeah. if you all could see her. Okay, but it's either that, which is clear conjecture,
yeah.
or it's all animals.
Right.
Because animals don't have a conscience.
Right.
And they're not choosing the gospel or...
Right. That's right.
And Jesus didn't die for them. But right. I'm just saying, if you just flesh this thing out,
yeah.
it's either certain animals... or it's all animals, and I just don't think people think through sometimes, are we talking every created animal or every birthed animal for the thousands upon thousands of years of human history? There would be no room for people.
Right.
It just doesn't add up, and the scripture gives us no indication that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
So is there potential for the relationship to be between us and a heavenly created being or animal of sorts? The same kind of thing where we are the only ones that have souls, and these are creatures that are there to, you know, be with us, and, you know, in the same way that we have relationship with animals here, will it reflect that way in heaven, do you think? And not, you know, well, your face makes me laugh.
Well, your face.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard
that. Yeah, I was going to say, his face makes me laugh about every time
sure
I see it.
I'm not sure if I'm asking a good question or a bad question.
That's a great question. But I think what we have now is a fallen understanding of animals. I think animals are originally designed to help humanity carry out the work that was given to them as responsibility. And so I think we will see them rightly. It's not as though we won't love them, but it'll be a right love. I think right now, back to Pastor Corey's statement, at the same time we devalue the value of human life, we've overestimated the value of animal life. I think part of that is through Romans chapter 1, right? We suppress the ultimate truth of God, exchange the truth of God for a lie, and begin to worship the created things. Mm-hmm. And I think,
yep.
right? So That's I think right. there's That's a right. whole bunch of that going into there. So I think we'll have a right relationship with animals. So will we love them? I think so, yeah.
Appropriately, or appreciate them, or whatever the
yes.
word may be.
But it won't be in our nature now, where we look for fulfillment sometimes
exactly.
in those animal relationships.
Because that's misplaced fulfillment.
That's right. And we know, and this is a benefit of our pets. You know, there is a reduction for many people of anxiety and stress, and there are many benefits to having pets. But there won't be any of those negatives in the eternal state.
Right.
So the relationship with animals would be, as Ben said, either for work. Purposes, but I also think when you go back to Eden, mm-hmm. right, a part of man's responsibilities were to exercise dominion.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think maybe a part of our work and responsibilities yeah. is to steward well the new heavens and the new earth. Yeah. That is a part of our reigning and ruling. You know, it's not that we're all just sitting on thrones all day telling people what to do. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
In any of these episodes, we're talking about reigning and ruling. A part of it, I think, is a subduing, a caring for the new heavens and new earth, and carrying out God's purposes.
Yeah.
And if indeed animals are a part of that, it would be a relationship that I think we would enjoy, but it's not the kind of relationship right. we have with animals now, which contribute to our human existence in positive ways that won't be needed in the eternal state.
Right. Right.
Okay, this one is another one that we get a lot. Will babies and toddlers who cannot put their faith in God yet, so they're too young to make a decision on if I'm going to follow Christ or not, will yep. they be taken up into heaven?
Yeah, so we've had several questions come in just about infants, even embryos, this mm-hmm. type of thing. So, you know, what we would say here is that any human life, and we believe human life begins at conception, yeah. there is a material and an immaterial aspect of human life. Yeah. There is, in other words, the material aspect. The immaterial would include the image of God. So some would say mankind is, you know, body and soul, or some would say body, soul, and spirit, however you break it down. The point is there's a material and an immaterial, but in humanity, the immaterial includes the image of God. And we right. believe that a human being is a human being at conception.
Yeah.
They have everything they need. We have he or she, depending on gender, have everything he or she needs at the moment of conception. So we believe that at any point of death, from that moment forward, those souls have the capacity to be in the eternal state, 100%. So whether that's an embryonic form now, or whether that is a two-year-old, six-year-old,
yeah.
And there's the question I know of like infant salvation and so forth that we could talk about at another time. But clearly those who die prior to the return of Christ, even in infancy or in an embryonic state, we believe can share eternity through the same resurrection that adults receive, if you will. So, you know, human life is human life.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. And then what would you say about us, again, recognizing those babies? I mean, if they yes. are embryos or they are you know, unborn
right.
children, is yep. it our soul recognizing them, or
yes,
how do you see that?
We believe that, absolutely. And I'm saying we, I don't need to speak for Ben, but I'm just yeah. saying this is a very tender point for all of us. Sure. I mean, it's just, yes, absolutely. In the same way that someone who passes away at 110,
right.
and we've talked in previous episodes about whatever that resurrection body looks like, mm-hmm. right, they'll be recognized. It may not be 110, it may be 35, to use our terminology here,
yeah.
now that we're all...
Yeah.
walking around carrying social security cards with,
yep.
you know, our age on the back of it. And so the same would hold true for a six-year-old. Absolutely, we believe that there'll be recognition and we'll know each other, and we'll know each other in the current state that we are, whatever that looks yep. like with our glorified bodies.
Yep, agreed.
So this one is similar, but it's leaning more towards baptism. So
okay.
if you have a child who hasn't been baptized, but again, they're too young, where do they fall in that category?
Yeah, well, again, we believe that conversion is the most important thing, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that is the most important thing. So assuming, let's just say you have a child who's been saved, who's redeemed, they've not yet been baptized, 100% they would spend eternity in heaven. And we know Jesus, again, saying to the one who was on the cross next to him, today you'll be with me in paradise, that he didn't have to be baptized. And so for those who die prior to baptism, they will absolutely receive a glorified body and be in the eternal state. So
yeah.
redemption, conversion, that's what matters
yeah.
most in terms of that.
Yeah. So as evangelicals, we there's a distinction in what we hold versus Roman Catholic view, right? Roman
yeah.
Catholic view
yeah.
says that they are saved through infant salvation, right, on the eighth day. And at that moment, they are saved. But after that moment, then they're held accountable for all their sins, hence the necessity of the other right ordinances, which they say confer grace. So marriage confers grace, confession confers grace, all these things. And then they hold that the believer, here's the hard part, that the believer who dies pays for unconfessed sin to a priest in purgatory.
That's
right?
correct, yeah.
The difference between Roman Catholics and evangelicals is there's a lot of differences, but in here it's specifically, we hold that baptism is for believers only. And so we don't believe that baptism saves you. Just as Pastor Corey said, we come to saving faith, we articulate salvation, and we're saved. And as a first step of obedience, we say, as a public testimony to the watching world, be baptized as a demonstration of what has already happened to you. And it's a picture of regeneration.
That's right.
Right? Dead with the old, raised again in Christ. So baptism is important as a step of obedience, and it's a great testimony to the watching world, but salvation is at the moment of conversion.
That's right.
So let's talk about that for a minute. There are lots of questions kind of related to that, where it's, you know, I've been a part of many different religions. How do I know that mine is the right one to get me into heaven? Or this one says, can someone go to heaven if they desire a close relationship with Christ but feel disconnected from him? What is the actual step, or what do you have to do to get into heaven? Who is the person who will go to heaven?
Yeah.
How do you get there?
So I think scripture is clear. It says to the one who professes with their mouth and heart. So there have been a lot of people who are not authentic believers. Maybe they've had emotional experiences or something like that, who have confessed with the mouth, but never with their heart, right? I think none of those will persevere in faith because they never possessed saving faith to begin with.
That's right. But including those of whom Jesus said, hey, I've done this in your name. And I've, so there's some type of verbal assent.
That's right.
But there's not a moment of conversion,
right,
a commitment of the heart, submission to Jesus as Lord.
Yeah.
There's some type of mental or verbal agreement. But
And here's the beautiful thing about salvation. It's not our work. Yes, we express the faith that's given to us as a gift, right? But the salvation is not our work. It is God's work. And so if someone is truly saved and at some point in their life they lose salvation, it's not a loss in the individual, it's a loss for the individual, but it's ultimately a failure in Christ, because Christ is the one who says, every single one that you give to me, I will save, and I won't lose a single one, not one will fail to be saved.
That's right.
And so salvation is not only God's from beginning to end, but all the way through. So to the person who's struggling right now saying, I don't feel it. One, let's remember what scripture says about our feelings, about our heart, right? Jeremiah says our hearts, even as saved individuals, our hearts are still deceptively wicked. And so in other words, do we feel? Yes. Do we have emotions? Yes. Are my emotions today as someone who's born again always right? No, they're not. And so what I would say to those who are struggling right now, in this season in which you may be feeling doubt, remember that God says, I am with you no matter what, until the very end. So it's not, he's only with us when we feel it. His love is infinite and it's unfailing. It is eternal and it's constant. And it cannot be changed whether we feel it in the moment or not.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's great. And I would just kind of echo that. If you're listening to the podcast or watching and you have questions about what it means to be saved, or you hear this and it sparks something, or you're not sure, our team would always love to talk to you. And you can always text Bell Shoals to 77411 so that we can help answer those questions for you. But we've got more to come. So thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you on the next one.